I'll be reading Hebrews 12:12-15. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of the God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
Good morning, church family. Thank you for allowing me to come and be with you once again. David, I didn't know whether to expect to see you this morning, but I heard the encouragement of hugs, and David probably say, be sure and do the left side, not the right side, right? I invite you, if you're visiting with us, to please come back again. David will be back in the pulpit here pretty quick. And he is proof that something good can come out of Texas. So I want to invite you to come back. You might prepare yourself. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. And we'll get there in just a moment. I want to opening by saying something to you that you probably already know. Life is sometimes hard. You know, we learn life as very young children. We learn life as teenagers and as we grow into adulthood and even as we get ready to leave this earth. Life is always a challenge. Life has something new all the time that goes along with it. I want to present a lesson to you this morning that I just wanted to simply entitle Reset. And specifically the idea of reset broken relationships. Now, even as I say that, you know, the antenna comes up for some of us. Because relationships are hard. And especially broken relationships carry along with it so much baggage and oftentimes hurt that we just don't know exactly how to deal with that. I want to start out this morning by telling you some of my experiences in regard to life and the idea of the challenge of life. When I was young, I had a sister by the name of Becky who was a year older than I was. And Becky sometimes would call me names. Now, I know that happens to none of you kids in any way with your siblings or anything like that. But, you know, when that would happen, sometimes it would make me cry. Maybe that's a weakness. I don't know what it is. But it would make me cry. And I'd holler at Mommy, Mommy, Becky called me this, you know, type thing. And my mom had a remedy for that. And it was just a riddle that was, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I thought that that was probably something that I ought to grab a hold of, but then sometimes later, I realized names do hurt, don't they? Names do hurt at times. And then you go through life and you get into middle school and you get into high school. And you realize that all those things of relationships and with people who you thought were your friends sometimes did things to you that hurt you in ways that you never really thought that they would ever do that to you. But it happens. And I suppose it's probably happened to all of us. And so when you think about some of those things, sometimes we get to the point to where it just really shatters us. Have you ever shattered a piece of glass or shattered a mirror, cracked a mirror or anything like that? Sometimes hurt shatters us. There's a lot of things spoken today about mental illness, right? And we never really think about the idea that mental illness can be something so simple as the idea of being challenged with the idea of our identity or who we are. And everything, every word that goes out there or every thought that goes out there that is expressed to us creates in us our image, the character with which we are. And if you're a young person out here this morning and you're dealing with some of these things that people have said to you, I want you to remember first and foremost, God created you in His image, and that is good. You remember that. Don't let all those other things overshadow the fact that God created you. And God has a purpose in your life. But at any time within life itself, we can find ourselves in a position or a place in which we're just brought to our knees. And no one can actually sometimes understand the hurt that we're experiencing. Or sometimes the mental challenge that is ours that we shut off in our room or we go to our closet or wherever it is that we just deal with ourselves. You know, this idea of unresolved hurt can express itself in so many ways. I've heard it throughout the years. Some of you have heard it throughout the years. Some of you maybe have said these things in the past. Some of you may be presently saying these things in regard to your life. One is, I've been hurt too badly. And what's that mean? Well, oftentimes it means I can't get past that. Or maybe the idea that I refuse to get past it. You don't know what I've been through. And in reality, sometimes we don't know what each other's been through. We don't know that mental thing that happens to us that we struggle with. Not after what she has done to me. I've done a lot of marriage counseling throughout the years, and I cannot tell you how often I have heard that. And I strive to understand and strive to listen to what has happened. Or the idea that he has destroyed my life. And I've seen terrible things that people have done to one another. I've heard terrible words that people have expressed to each other. Or it's too painful to even think about. And therefore, we just hold it in and it destroys us. It robs us of the spirit that God intended to have within our lives and the peace and the joy that really is part of life itself. And so it just expresses this idea that my hurt is greater than the grace I can give. This passage of scripture that our young man read earlier, particularly verse 15, says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble or defile many." That passage is not written to unbelievers. It is written to those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. It's written to those who believe in God. It's written to those of us who have actually received the grace of God within our lives. But can we live in such a way that we destroy the grace that was given to us, or that we fail to live under the grace that God has given to us and that we have lived life with? Could it be that sometimes there's a bitter root that causes trouble and strife? And the answer is yes. I think every one of us can be challenged with that at times when hurt comes along in our life, that we just want to shut it off. We don't want to deal with it anymore. And boy, if you ask for forgiveness, you got another thing coming to you. Our good friends, Marty and Kelly Quinn. Marty's running for insurance commissioner next year. And they heard Ashcroft speak. Ashcroft is now in his 80s. And he had a lot of biblical references to the idea of his life, or the idea of the encouragement of what he believed that leaders in our nation ought to pursue. And one of the things that Kelly shared with me that I thought was so interesting is the idea that you cannot command grace. And Randy this morning led us in 1 John, you cannot command love. And even as a leader, you cannot do that. But what is a leader to do? A leader is to expose the light which comes through his life. I want us to think this morning about a passage of scripture that comes out of Matthew chapter 18. And I thought Randy was going to preach my lesson this morning in his class, and actually made reference to this. And the songs in regard to 1 John are a part of this dynamic, and I think about the fact that God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Can I say to you, God knows what he's doing this morning with you? That maybe he's inviting you into this story that Peter asked and that Jesus told. It's an interesting context because right previous to this, they're struggling with the idea of who's the greatest. And here it comes to the point to where Peter asks this question, verse 21, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? There's no way of knowing exactly the context of why Peter asked this question. It's almost like, did some other apostle, fellow apostle, offend Peter in some way? I mean, Peter's the one who always stood out, right? He really ought to be the greatest. Maybe somebody knocked his feet out from underneath him. Maybe they called Peter impetuous. What does that do to you? Am I impetuous? Isn't that the way I'm supposed to be in regard to my Christianity and how I live my life? We don't know the background for this. But it's interesting that Jesus answers the question by telling a story. In verse 22, Jesus said to them, I do not say to you up to seven times. You see, that's what Peter asked. But up to 70 times 7. Man, that means I have to have a book. And I got to write it down. 490 times. I can get to that limit in regard to my life. And then I can just let them have it. Jesus gives this over-encompassing thought with the idea of forgiveness. But over in companies thought in regard to hurt, right? How many times can my brother sin against me and I'm expected to forgive him? Verse 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. I have a footnote in New American Standard Version that says $10 million. Now, I can't even fathom $10 million. Most of us can't. So here is this man who owes his king $10 million. Verse 25, but since he did not have the means to repay, no kidding, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. That was the custom of the day. It wasn't abnormal. It was just part of the kingdom itself that could take place. Verse 26, a slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you everything. Are you kidding? There's no way he's going to repay this. And yet, listen to the response. Verse 27, and the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Totally. All of it. $10 million. I mean, out of $10 million, couldn't you expect at least $100,000? Or $10,000? Or $1,000? I mean, shouldn't you get something back out of that? But the slave went out, and he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. In the equation of the idea of $10 million, the 100 denarii comes out to $20. $10 million to $20. This the previous slave didn't even have to pay back the $20 to the king. I mean, he could have at least requested somehow or another, if there was $10,000, he could have requested from this slave maybe something that was there. But that wasn't even the amount. It was just $20. So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. Now tell me how that's possible. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, I want you to notice everybody else knew that it was wrong. Everybody knew it was wrong. When the fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him back, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all of that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And in the Lord's Prayer, there is, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And at the end of the Lord's Prayer, there's this statement that's made about our Heavenly Father, that if we do not forgive others, we also will not be forgiven. There's three things that I want us to understand out of this story and about the idea of grace, hurt, and mercy and forgiveness. And that is that grace is only grace if it goes both ways. Jesus doesn't give an out to the idea that I want to receive grace, but I don't want to give grace to others. Now, I'm telling you, this isn't easy. When a friend hurts you, or a spouse hurts you, or whoever hurts you, somehow or another, the normal response isn't the idea of giving grace. It's the idea of how can I get back? But you see, God invites us into the light. He invites us into His love. And in turn teaches us how to love. But He just doesn't teach us how to love. If Christ has come into our life, we are to be love. When Deb and I were dating back in 1900 and none of your business, there was a movie that came out that was Love Story. Some of you who have no hair or gray hair might remember that. Remember the essence of the story or the theme of the movie was love means never having to say you're sorry. That's another one of those misnomers. Love expects us to say we're sorry. Grace given to us in our lives is expected to also be given away. Love goes both ways. Grace goes both ways. Another thing I think that we learn is that Jesus' disciples are to be known by grace because they've been given grace. I'm always a little amazed sometimes about lessons that I hear that supposedly come from Scripture. And sometimes those of us who preach can be really emphatic about what we're preaching about. But it becomes obvious to others that it's really not a part of our lives. It doesn't work that way. People see right through that. God sees right through that. And grace is one of those things that's to be given away because we declare ourselves to be disciples of Jesus. Hatred has no place in our lives. Jesus expressed his indignation because they had changed the temple into a den of thieves. They were taking advantage of people. And sometimes when we see the idea that people are being taken advantage of, it ought to upset our hearts. But we ought to love people with the love of God. The third thing I think that we see out of this passage is often that we need to stop focusing upon what has been done to us and to live for what has been done for us. Jesus gave his life in order that we might understand that God loves us. God loves you. I could pick on every one of you. God loves you. God made a choice even before the world was created. He made a plan that His Son was going to pay the price of anything that has hurt you. But the amazing thing is that the one who has hurt you, Jesus died for. Can I tell you, sometimes that just rubs us the wrong way. And one of the reasons it rubs us the wrong way is because we're still holding on to the hurt. We're still carrying the hurt. Peter says, cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. God cares for you. Jesus cared for you enough to go to the cross. And brother or sister in Christ, God cared enough for you to put His Spirit in your life in order that you might not miss out on the grace of God, and that no bitterness or anger should rest upon your heart. I thought about this lesson, and I thought about our young kids. I have grandchildren, 23 to 5 in ages. What would I want them to know? I would want them to know that God loves you. And all this stuff, all this baggage, all this hurt that sometimes that we experience in life, Jesus has already taken care of. God is already taken care of. So you don't have to carry it. You don't have to carry it. And somehow or another, if you feel like you carry it, just pray. Let go of it. And I won't tell you that that's the easiest thing to do. I won't tell you that's the easiest thing to say to ourselves, I just can't let go of this. I understand sometimes how the struggle is that we can't let go of things. But God has already taken care of it. And God desires to give grace in your life. He changes us from the inside out. And Randy, class this morning just helped us to understand that love is love. Grace is grace only when you give it away. So let's be givers. Let's love people as God has loved people. Even while they were yet sinners, God demonstrated His love toward us in sending His Son. May God take this lesson with you. May God put this lesson upon your heart in order that you might not miss out on the grace of God, as the Hebrew writer spoke about. and may no root of bitterness exist in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you, Father, that we've had the opportunity to live life. And Father, it's hard. It's hard, especially when we feel hurt. When, Father, we feel like our spirit has been destroyed. But thank you that you sent Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy in our life. And Father, may we give that same grace and mercy to those who are around us, especially, Father, those that we love. And yet Jesus invited us to love our enemies. So, Father, teach us. We ask, Father, that your Spirit would continue to teach us and urge us and spur us on to love and good deeds. And, Father, regardless of what age we are, we know, Father, that you are there for us. Or whatever we've experienced in life, you are there. And you invite us to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our brother's going to lead us an invitation song. I want to tell you that there's no better place to be with the hurt in our life than in God's family. There are people who are here who desire to walk this journey of life together with you. There are people who are here who have maybe experienced the same thing that you've experienced. Thank God that He gives us family that we can walk through life together. If you need to come, please come. Bring all the baggage. You don't have to go back and get the U-Haul truck, okay? But you just bring the baggage that you are carrying, and let's just leave it right here. Because this afternoon is the opportunity for a new life. Maybe you're not quite ready to get rid of the baggage yet. If later this week, if you have this prompting that says, I'm ready, just call the church office. Call David. Call one of the elders here. Hey, call any member here. Call any member here. And they're ready to be here for you. If you need to come, won't you come as we stand and sing?